This week on Video Death Loop. Plus, send in the rules, Badoof. Hello and welcome to Video Death Loop, the show where we watch a video on loop until one or both of us can't take it anymore. I'm your host this week, John Hurst, and over here is my co-host, Aaron Littleton.
It's true. Did you like hit puberty while saying co-host?
It's called inflection. I wanted to bring that energy. I wanted to make that excitement happen. I hear if you like, you know, you suck. What I do? Here's what I do, Aaron.
I want to hear all of your inflection techniques.
Sure. So the secret is, when no one's looking, and the good thing is we're on an audio podcast, so no one is looking, I just kind of huff a little bit of helium in the middle of it. I do a real quick breath that no one can hear, so like no one can hear the helium, and then I just do that co-host, like right there. I did it again.
Yep. I heard that. Yeah. I think the most unbelievable thing is that you have helium just around to huff. Helium has become like super weirdly expensive.
Mm-hmm, it has.
It's strange how expensive helium is. And like at some number of years ago, I heard that we're like running out of helium.
And that is still, I think, true to some degree.
Yeah, I don't think we found more. There's two parts of this I don't understand. One, its atomic number is 2, which means it is the second most common element in the entire fucking universe.
Pretty up okay. There. On the BuzzFeed article of like most common elements, it is number 2.
It's number you 2. Right. It's got to be number 2. The AI written BuzzFeed article.
Yeah.
And so one, helium.
I want to see that article now. Just top 151 elements or whatever.
And then, oh boy, I can't wait till we get to number 6. I wonder if carbon's going to come in clutch again.
better. Something else is terribly wrong. But
yeah, I think a lot of biology stops working if carbon is not number 6.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't understand, one, how we're running out of it if it's the second most common thing. And two, and I'm guessing these questions are intertwined in a way that's going to make the answers to both of them make sense. It's like, I don't know how we get carbon or not carbon. I don't know how we get helium. I've heard there's a mine. There's a helium mine.
Yeah. You have to mine for helium.
From fucking how? Like, how does that work? What is that? I mean, honestly, like, do you have any concept of how you mine into the earth and then like a helium gas comes out in such quantities that you can like pressurize it and put it in a canister and fill balloons with it?
I think there's a third question you need to be asking. It's like, where is John getting all this helium from? Let's go back to that one.
Yeah, because that's what I said. Like, that's the least believable part, since like helium is
incredibly expensive. Why do you think we're running low on helium? We're running low? Why do you think it's my fault? It's actually my fault. Some people collect Funko Pop. Some people collect music, Pokemon cards. Yeah. I collect the number 2 element in the universe, helium.
Okay.
Just, you know, store it up there. U.S. asks for my supply of helium. I say no. Joe Biden, no. I can't. No, it's mine. I bought it. I'm not
back
even
when
stealing
helium
it.
Was cheap. You started hoarding.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of kept it in there. Just like one of those. I'm blanking out on the name, like where you like the humidor, like for like cigars and stuff, except it just helium tanks.
Heliodor.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It sounds like a monster that Perseus would have fought. I'm going to be real with you. The Heliodor.
And eventually, I think humanity is just going to have to deal with me at this part for the helium they want, for their damn balloons and whatnot at their local grocery store.
I mean, like, guy that hoarded helium is not a bad legacy to leave. I mean, if you're talking like, how will I be remembered? I was the guy that had all the helium.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad. You're sliding somewhere. If you're not in the history books, you're at least showing up in like trivia questions at some point, or, you know, some future version of Trivial Pursuit. What guy hoarded all the helium in the mid 2020s? John Hurt.
I think
get your wedge. Get your red wedge.
Yeah, I think it's worth at least a paragraph in the history book of the future at that point. So maybe like one of the questions, you know, like how the least for us, like history books always had like especially in class, always had questions at the end of the chapter that no one ever. Like, I feel like they either got used too much or too little in those questions. But
we were assigned those to answer. Those were our homeworks.
Ooh. Did you have the book that had like the odd answers or the even answers in the back?
No answers. Ooh. No fucking answers.
You had to actually delve into history.
You had to answer the questions.
Ooh.
That's why it was school.
That's rough.
Yeah. That was, yeah, sometimes the teacher might have some pity and be like, let's do the odd questions.
Yeah.
Or like, let's do the evens ones. But the answers were not in the back.
Hmm.
There was a, man, last week we told an embarrassing high school story about me. I'm going to tell an embarrassing high school story about some of my classmates.
Okay, good. Yeah, put them on blast.
Yeah, get this. Okay, so one point or another, there was a point where, I guess a teacher left the room after assigning like a bunch of questions, and someone in the class decided to get the teacher's book from their desk, and because it had all the answers,
smart,
and then
good.
Copy the answers out of the teacher's book, and everyone else thought this was a great idea as well, and everyone copied the answers out of the teacher's book. Now, the problem is that many of the children, high school children, did not like engage like in any way with the answers. And to the point where some of them, I think this was in an English class. And so obviously there's going to be some answers that are a little bit more open ended. You might not have a set answer that the teacher can check. And so those particular answers in the teacher's book were listed as answers may vary.
Oh no.
And so apparently some of the less let's say observant kids in the class wrote answers may vary.
Smart. I mean, they're not wrong, but they're not wrong.
But it tipped the teacher off the fact of the widespread cheating that had happened in the class while they were out. I'm not sure that anyone got credit.
Your class became a very rudimentary AI model is what happened.
Yeah,
actually, parts of them learned and it was answering the different questions how it expects as if a human was. And your class did not pass the Turing test is what I'm trying to say.
As a group, no. You know, I think there's probably some answers and you hope that, you know, some of the children that were smart enough to sort of, you know, mix things up a little bit, you know, substitute grab a thesaurus and substitute every other word or whatever, you know, they might have done enough to obfuscate the rampant copyright. It's AI, isn't it? You're right, dude. You're right. It's 100%. Yeah, AI is just a class of cheating children.
Yeah, it is 100%. It is like that, and like no one like can they figure out the number of digits on a hand? No, they can't. No, they cannot. It is too few or too many. No, nothing in between.
Nope. They're like, how many fingers does a hand have? Answers may vary. That's all.
Answers also technically true, but very wrong.
Yeah.
Aaron, I have a video for you this week. Sorry, I sipped a little more helium there, but
okay, please.
I have a fine glass of helium in front of me, and okay, I'm ready to show you a video that you have no idea what it's about.
It's true.
I do, because I picked it out. And we're going to watch it in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. This is a Pokemon card commercial, I'm guessing?
It's a commercial. It's an official commercial at that.
An official commercial for Pokemon cards, which I don't think I've ever seen.
Me neither. And that's kind of what brought me to that. It's like, I don't know where you would show this at, but oh God, they exploded cards.
So a guy in a skate park is looking at a pack of Pokemon cards. Mm-hmm. He pulls, I guess, what he assumes is a good card, which makes his eyes go big and weird. And I kind of have to wonder if they were meant to look like an anime character's eyes because they get all big and weird. It's like an inability to understand like what anime looks like or whatever.
He got a good card.
Yeah, he got a good card, and like this like girl wants to see it, and
it's like, let me see your card.
Yeah, I don't know if it's supposed to be like a flirty thing with her or if she's just another cool person that wants to see a Pokemon card. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like let me see the product. Let me, like, oh, you like commercial product? I like commercial product too. Give me.
Then it goes to a soccer. The card flies to someone playing soccer who explodes into cards and then goes back together. I don't know. I don't get this commercial.
It's like,
I don't
understand.
What does this mean? What does any of this mean?
I think it means that when you're least expecting it, like you could be out and about, you could be at a skateboard park, you could be at a soccer, you could be in the middle of a forest walking on your merry way, but there might be a Pokemon card floating across the sky. And if you pick it up, bad things might happen to you.
I guess, so this is a warning against Pokemon? Like, don't buy these cards. You might turn into a pile of Pokemon cards.
I mean, like,
and then reconstitute somehow changed after glimpsing eternity.
They're like, is that what's happening there? They explode. They become more than themselves. They get put back together as a human, or are they?
Or are they? Very, very good. They are temporarily, their body has dematerialized. It has become, they explode into Pokemon cards, which I could only assume means death. Like, I don't see how I would survive exploding into Pokemon cards. When I reconstitute, if I reconstitute, can I say I'm the same person as before?
No, you
it
are.
It feels like no.
Yeah.
Has my soul left my body? How quickly does the soul leave?
That's a good question. With the way that it's a soul, like, there's something in the middle, like when they explode in the middle, there's like a core to them, like the electricity and like a little bit of light in there. Maybe that's the constituting of the soul. Like the Pokemon card has got to them at that part.
Okay, so the Pokemon in the explosion, we're going to assume that this outline of the person, this like glowing outline of the person, is the soul. So the Pokemon cards take the physical body and explode it, but then somehow the Pokemon cards also are powerful enough to bind our soul where our body was before.
So only certain Pokemon
power
cards.
Can, so our body can reconstitute around it?
I guess. I mean, like, they clearly are getting a jolt of energy, like something exciting for that. Like, in the process, they are happy, or they are enjoyed, or they've become the Pokemon cards, and they're happy about like this transformation at this point.
It's not entirely unlike the Star Trek teleporter question, is it?
Right. No,
where
it's
you are ripped apart to your component pieces, and then you are recompiled, and what is lost in the interim? Is it still life? Have you died? Are you the same person?
Yeah.
And it's one thing to apply that to a more or less hard science fiction show and ask the moral implications of these technologies. It is quite something else when you are talking about trading cards that children collect.
Yeah. And it's only certain cards. Like, it's definitely like the big, your your hits in the yeah. like in the booster yeah. box.
This
or
is
whatever.
Not happening with Bidoofs. No, I feel no. confident that no Bidoof card has ever killed anyone. I feel yeah, very no. confident in saying that.
A Bidoof is a friend to all people, and that includes the card version of Bidoof, I think. So,
yeah, I mean, if only because Bidoof knows, should he become too powerful, too exciting, then Bidoof would cause this reaction when mm-hmm. his human friends find his card. So Bidoof keeps it real. Bidoof keeps it on the down low.
Bidoof is for the children.
To save us all.
But there is something else I've noticed too about this, like the fourth or fifth loop that we've gone through with this commercial. And that is like a bunch of people are exploding, turning into the cars throughout. Like we see that constantly happening. But the first person, subject zero, I would say, like patient zero in this case, does not.
He does not explode. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Like, watch it this time. He like opens up the pack.
I mean, I'm watching it, but that's why I'm wondering. Like, he does not explode. I guess
his eyes go wide.
His eyes begin. Oh, maybe this.
He is a progenitor.
Girl that he hands the card to, like, sufficiently interrupts the process enough.
Yes. The origin,
to save
basically.
Him from the explosion.
So she's trying. She realizes what it is. It's like, hey, come here. I'm trying to save you. Like, in the simplest way possible. But unfortunately, knows that she's trading her own life in to become a... How many cards are in a Pokemon deck? Like 60, I assume?
Yeah, like a 60, it's something 60 side, like that.
Yeah, a 60-card deck of Pokemon cards.
That's she's a hero. She's a hero.
Yeah.
She saves this kid's life by taking the card.
Right, like right before it happens at that point. But notice the card slips away at that point. It's like a disease. It's like a virus passing around. Like it goes on and finds its next victim, and it happens to find a soccer field, which is everyone's gonna be turning into Pokemon cards at the soccer field. Let's just be honest.
Yep. No, and they do. They absolutely do, including the referee. Is it a referee? Is it a referee on a soccer field?
Yeah.
Is it an umpire?
I think referee. I think referee.
Why is it that only baseball... Is baseball the only sport that uses the word umpire for its rules enforcer?
I don't know, but I feel like cricket would. I feel like cricket would just do that. Like cricket does a lot of weird things anyway, but
what's
I don't
the
know
guy
much.
In a What's the guy in a boxing ring? What's that guy called?
That is...
Is he a ref?
Yeah, he's a ref.
Is he a referee? Referee? Yeah. Same in wrestling, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, he's a ref.
Okay.
Referee.
Soccer, referee. Mm-hmm. Football, referee.
Right.
Tennis.
Basketball.
What's a tennis guy?
The dude sitting on top of the... Like,
yeah, the guy that
lifeguard.
Gets a cool
lifeguard.
Lawn
it's
chair.
A lifeguard.
Yes, the lifeguard. The tennis has a life. Okay, so tennis does have a different name for it.
Yeah.
Gets his little umbrella stand.
Yeah,
he's gonna I think it's a ref, though, isn't it?
I think it's a ref. Yeah.
Like for in reality, it is a ref. Mm. But baseball umpire, where's that from? Yeah. What's that?
Maybe they were just like we're more than referees. We sit here, we wear like
we
we're
have
part
to
of the
squat.
Game. We have to squat and we have to look at a ball very closely. You know, I think we got to put some oomph into it, maybe. Oomph. Mm. See? Mm.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I don't know why they get to be special.
Baseball tends to be, they try to be special in their own way a lot of times. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, we can, like, we just need to be a little bit different because we're a slower paced game.
Yeah, I mean, there's some... I get that, you know? I get that. But still, it feels like some level of standardization would be nice. If we could just... Every sport that has the rules guy, that guy should be the referee. Unless we want to come up with like a brand new third... Like if baseball wants to pitch a fit bill, we don't want to change. If we're going to change, we want everybody to change.
Right.
Okay, baseball, fine.
Like a sports council, like kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, the sports council gets together. Mm-hmm.
What would be a good authoritative name for someone who can control the will of the game? That's not referee or umpire. Umpire doesn't feel like they have complete control over it. They just have like their little general area where they're like they can call out and stuff.
And I mean, the like strikes and balls and are there additional rules guys on a baseball? Is there one at like first and third base, or am I making that? Or is that just
no? There's one at first and third base. For
what
umpires.
Are those guys called then?
I think they're also umpires.
They're umpires?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
we can't
all
have this. We can't. Like, if those were referees, and then we could say, like, the umpire.
I think you got, like, a head umpire, and then they got umpires.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no.
Plural.
That's. What are you doing, baseball? What are you fucking doing?
Baseball's also that sport where it's like we need a specific sort of mud for our balls to make them less slippery. So that's.
I guess
truth.
It's nothing like a sport. You know, like a sport can be persnickety about certain things, like especially at a high level, right? Like it's mm-hmm. It would be tough to not have a sport. That's like, I mean, you think like curling, yeah. Everyone's favorite funny sport is. Yeah. It has the stones have to be made out of rock that is like comes from a specific quarry in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like even that persnickety, right? So I'm okay with them being persnickety, but like at least your rules dude needs to have the same name as everybody else.
So
I think
you're okay. You're okay with it, like they can have all the rules they want. They can be as different as they want, as long as the referee is they're called one thing, like not
the
everyone
rules dude needs to be called. I mean, it doesn't have to be referee. I'm just looking for some level of standardization between sports.
I kind of like rules dude.
Rules dude's all right. It's a little sexist. I'll
true.
You know,
okay,
not loving that part.
Yeah,
I mean, I came up with the term rules dude, and I'm already. Sort of canceling myself over it.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Rules. Rules per. You know, game master. D&D maybe. Maybe has the answer for us.
Yeah. Everyone's a game. Like, I mean, I guess they are. They are the game master. At that point, gamekeeper. Gamekeeper is pretty good.
The gamekeeper. Game custodian.
Custodian. Yeah. The Bidoof.
We've already spoken about how what a nice Pokemon Bidoof is. Mm-hmm. The game Bidoof. Rules Bidoof.
I would trust the rule, like the Bidoof, to give me the proper rules. Like the Bidoof will not do us wrong.
He's already protecting us from exploding into a pile of cards. Like,
yes.
You know, like he doesn't have to do that. Like, clearly, Arcanine. Mm. Doesn't give a shit. Like, we see that happening. Arcanine does not care.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool. It's going to make you explode into a pile of cards.
Yeah. And that's a hard part. You don't know what, like, if you get into the game, this is the danger that they warned us about in the 90s. Like, what happens if you find a rare card? This is what happens if you found a Charizard in the 90s for your Pokemon deck. Like, you would explode into a pile of cards. That's what they were worried about.
Yeah. I mean, maybe all those 90s parents, maybe they were onto something.
Yeah, they were just they saw it happen firsthand, and they were like, no, we need to get the game Bidoof in here. We need to stop this.
Now, a game Bidoof does not actually have to be a Bidoof, right? Like a game Bidoof can just embody the spirit of a Bidoof.
You know, I think that is eventually going to be allowed, but I'm going to be hard pressed. It has to be a Bidoof for a while.
It's got
to
be a Bidoof. So we're putting all current referees and umpires out of business because we are making them be Pokemon.
Yes, I believe that I'm in the wrong, and like and history will show me that, and like show that everyone can be a game Bidoof, not just Bidoofs, but also. I'm going to be like, I want to see a Bidoof, right? Like, I want to see a Bidoof in that game.
I mean, you know, if you can find enough Bidoofs, enough skilled Bidoofs, right? Because I guess probably not all Bidoofs would want to be rules Bidoof, or game Bidoofs, right? Like, some of them probably want to be, you know, I don't know, like, writers, maybe? Nurses, perhaps?
Yeah.
And so, like, are you forcing these Bidoofs to do refereeing? I guess is what I'm asking. Are we press ganging Bidoofs into this?
I mean,
to keep up with your demands.
I think it's a lot of peer pressure, but they don't have to do it. It's what's going to boil down to. I'm expecting all of America to be on my side and be like, hey, you should be a game Bidoof.
So they don't have to.
They don't have
to. There's a certain implication, right?
Yeah.
Like there's
it's like when your mom is like, it's like, oh, you don't want to be a doctor anymore? Huh. Okay. You know, kind of like, you know.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
No. Yeah. Making that like that passive aggressive remark about like whatever life decision you have just made at that point. We just got to do that to Bidoofs is what we have to do.
Did your mom ever do the thing when you were a kid? My mom would let me know that she was mad at me by washing dishes loudly. It was like when I hear loud dishes being like clink, clink as dishes are being washed or put into the dishwasher, I'll be like, oh, I fucked up. Oh, I fucked up bad.
Ooh.
The dishes sound slightly louder than normal.
Oh, that is a clank that I don't like to hear.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's not good.
She didn't quite do, I mean, maybe as an aside, but she would definitely like if she was mad, it would like, you could tell the room, how she would respond a lot of times in that.
Yeah.
Case.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I just wondered if anyone else's mom's like angry washed dishes.
I mean, that is, you gotta like, it's like this fucking stain's getting out of here.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
Right fucking now. This macaroni is not getting hard on this plate. Also, I'm mad because my son wants to be a podcaster, not a doctor. I don't even know what that is. It's 1991. I do not know what he's talking about.
God, what if you just had knowledge about the future, and the only thing you knew was that podcasting was going to be a thing, and you had to hold on to that fact because no one would believe you. It's like, I'm going to be a podcaster. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Is there any way that you can make money off knowing that podcasts will eventually be a thing?
I don't think so. I mean, like, if it's the knowledge, like, what part of the knowledge do you have at that point? Like, you got the knowledge that there will
full fucking knowledge, full knowledge.
Okay. Do you know what, like, kind of like popular shows?
Yeah, like, I would say you would know, like, I mean, you know what you know now.
Okay.
Like, what do you, I mean, like, I don't even know what you do. Like, what do you do? Like, how would you make any amount of money off of that?
What if, actually, hold on. I got an idea. This is probably like a show idea at this point, but like, what if you just like, you only had like knowledge of the like cold case podcasts and all that,
yeah,
and you just go and solve like a child detective because you just have like proverbial knowledge of all these cold cases from podcasts of the future.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do that. I guess you could just wait, you know, outside of, you know, certain body dumping grounds and see who brings the body there. I mean, the other idea is, I don't know that you could make money off of this, but you could certainly keep people from making money off of it, right? Like, you
True.
Could make like a real like shitty cereal, like you could call it like shitty cereal, and then like a couple years before like the first season of cereal comes out, you're like, I'm gonna cover this murder case, and you just do it as terribly as you can. Everyone's like, oh, okay, well, we already know about this one, boy. Sarah Koenig really needs to have found a different case to cover.
Be like, it's like, hi, I'm like, John, 12 years old, and here's my shitty cereal podcast.
Yeah, shitty cereal. I'm distributing it via audio tapes.
Thanks, Dave. My first Patreon. What's a Patreon? Don't ask.
Yeah. Maybe you folks aren't ready for it, but your kids are going to love it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still. I like the idea of just like sitting in front, like sitting by where the body dumping grounds are. It's like, hey, what you got there? Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, like you're not stopping these murders, right? Like you're like, well, since I know like where happened, they're, where I they, guess. Yeah. Well, no, like they wouldn't, right? Like, yeah. You know, a lot. Some of these case. Okay, some of the cases, like okay, from the 70s. Yeah, I would never have been born early enough. Never right. been born with the preternatural understanding of podcasts to stop that from happening. But I could definitely stop some people from getting murdered.
Hmm.
And which is, in a way, if like if my goal is solely to keep Sarah Koenig as like a like associate producer on This American Life instead of creating Serial, which let's face, I mean that's a perfectly fine, you know, thing you can do, I guess. If you have to be the John, you're in the history books for hoarding helium. I'm in the history books for like keeping that mouthy Sarah Koenig in her place. You still just, work for Ira Glass and you like it.
It's like he, just like keeping the chain, like keeping NPR in where it belongs, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think Sarah Koenig seems like a really nice person. I'm not saying anything bad about Sarah Koenig. I'm just saying if your understanding of that. That's like the one thing you could change, right? Is you could stop true crime from becoming a podcast like sensation by stopping Serial, by either stopping that murder from happening or making shitty Serial.
Yeah. I mean, what if you'd even like you just it's like the, like you become like the subject of the true crime because it's like not because you committed the crime, but because you're just at every scene and no one can explain why. It's like there's just this passive aggressive kid who just who's always nearby where the dumping grounds is. Like, oh, you're going to dump here? Really? Really? Okay, I guess. Okay. And then angrily washing dishes behind me.
Clink, clink, clink.
Some say they could hear those dishes to this day.
To this very day. Why was his mom so mad? Why was she making dishes clink so loudly? Well, answers may vary.
I'm tapping, man. Okay. I'm tapping.
Ooh. Oh, jeez. Okay, I can stop watching this Pokemon thing now.
You can. Like, you ever play the Pokemon card game, Aaron?
Oh, yeah. I have. I did not play it when I was a child. I have played it with my child because she likes to collect Pokemon cards. Like, she would think this commercial would be awesome, I think. And, yeah, I've played it. It's pretty fun.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that was one of those games where I bought like a couple of decks for like starter decks and I was just like, oh, I want to play it, but also I don't want to ask people to play because I falls have interacting with other people and I just never did. So
I think I was already like into Magic by the time the Pokemon card game came out and it was like, oh, that's the one for kids. You don't want to play that. Play Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. We gotta play out our Urza's Domain cards and all that. Yep. And you know, make people think that we were like getting confiscated because it's Satan's work or something for school.
Yep. Which again happened in my high school.
Yeah. No, that was just a general mostly in the South thing, I'm pretty sure on that.
That's also just, we were playing during class instead of listening and the teachers were not real happy with that.
How did you do that? Like because like,
okay, let's
like
just imagine your teachers
desks, the typical area is the desks are sitting facing the teacher.
Yeah. Okay, so this was in a class that weirdly, for some reason, instead of having individual desks, we had like group desks.
Okay.
And so then you could play Magic. Which, like, okay. I understand, like, if as a teacher, I was trying to teach, like, Algebra 2, and I'm pretty sure it was my Algebra 2 class, and we had, like, a whole table full of Magic players in there, and then we would all just, they would start teaching, and then we would just start playing Magic instead of paying attention.
It's like, all right, everyone, get out your textbooks and your Magic decks.
Yep. Yeah, you don't have to pay attention to any of this shit, but listen... You better draw. You better not get mana screwed.
Yeah. No. No. Not at all. Yeah. I think we got. I think we figured out a lot of things this episode, Aaron. I think we did. We figured out where all the helium's going. Sorry. By the way.
I don't think we answered how we mine helium. How you dig in the earth and then like couple, three questionable steps, and then at the end, you've got a balloon full of helium. I don't understand that still, but that's fine. At least I know I don't understand it.
Yeah, we can. That is something that, like, post podcast, we can, as we're editing the podcast, we can talk. I was like, we learned something. Do we share that with the audience? Absolutely not. You can look that up on your own. Bing it yourself.
Just bing it yourself.
Yeah, it's all out there. All the information is out there until it's no longer like helium.
Yep.
And then
at that point, John will have hoarded all the information and the helium.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm working on the next, probably pick a less plentiful element after helium to take. Like, you know, get one of those higher up that they go and create in the lab and have like one or two of.
Considering our home state, wasn't there like Tennesseeum?
Tennessine, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
Tennessine?
Yeah, Tennessine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we could. That seems easy. I think it's probably all created nearby in Oak Ridge anyway. So
yeah, probably.
Yeah, so that is our episode. Questions at videodeathloop.com. We got, rate us. If you like this and you like we got plenty of more episodes out there, rate us on your podcast platform. I found out Spotify does transcripts recently of our episodes, like automatically.
That's exciting.
I was surprised at the quality for what it's getting from our voices on that. I was like, okay, I can kind of read and make sense of it a little bit, and trying to find, like, it was very helpful to be sometimes after we record an episode, it's like, what did we talk about?
What was that episode?
Yeah. So it was like, it was kind of nice to go back and like look and see. It's like, this is the episode that we talked about the dystopian nightmare future, which is a lot of them actually. But
there's more than I feel comfortable acknowledging.
All hail the horse god is all I'm saying. But you could tell a friend, tell anyone nearby. If they don't know what a podcast is because you're in the 90s, tell them about Video Death Loop. Tell them it's going to be pretty big in the future. Aaron, am I missing something? I feel like I'm missing something.
Did you tell them about having a nice week?
No, but they should. They should have a nice week. They deserve it.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.